Good day and welcome to the conference call regarding Fagron 2017 annual results. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Rafael Padilla, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, all. Welcome to Fagron's conference call regarding the annual results of 2017. My name is Rafael Padilla, CEO of Fagron. With me here today are Karin de Jong, CFO, and Constantijn van Rietschoten, responsible for investor relations. First of all, let me thank you for taking the time to listen to our results call and your interest in Fagron. As you probably know, I have been part of Fagron for quite some time now, since 2002. My most recent position was Area General Manager, South America and Southern Europe, and in November last year, I was asked to become CEO. I'm very much looking forward to, together with Karin, Constantijn, and the whole experienced and motivated Fagron team, successfully expand our business further in the upcoming years. I am confident that our strategic focus will provide significant value for our shareholders, customers, employees, and all our other stakeholders. Back to the results, I will, together with Karin, take you through the results of the year under review. A year characterized with not only organizational changes, but also some acquisitions and exciting innovative concepts introductions, which we will tell you all about in the presentation. We will take you through the financial results, discuss the highlights, and after that, there is time for questions. The presentation we will use is available on our website, investors.fagron.com. Let's move to slide one, headlines 2017. We were able to realize strong results over the full year. This was driven by growth in our core regions. Turnover showed an increase of 3.6% to 436.9 million euro. EBITDA increased by 5.7% to 95.7 million euro, which represents 21.9% of turnover. The organic turnover growth accelerated in the second half of the year to 4.2%. In 2017, we again realized a strong operational cash flow of 84.2 million euros. The net debt to EBITDA ratio over 2017 showed an improvement again, driven by the strong cash flow generation. The net financial debt to EBITDA ratio declined from 3.18 to 2.48. Net debt stood at around 236 million euro at the end of 2017, compared to 285 million euro at year-end of 2016. In line with our active buy-and-build strategy, we completed two acquisitions. In August, we finalized the acquisition of Chemig, a leader supplying of pharmaceutical raw materials and packaging materials to pharmacies and wholesalers in Croatia and Bosnia-Herzegovina. In October, we realized a second takeover with the acquisition of Alchemistry, which is based in Brazil, a renowned supplier of pharmaceutical raw materials. The new sterile compounding facility in Wichita, the United States, secured several licenses in 2017. The licenses for the states of Arkansas and Maine were received in the fourth quarter, bringing the current total to 48. Although the sterile activities in the United States perform in line with expectations in 2017, we believe we can further accelerate growth in 2018 with the appointment of Blake Keller to president of Fagron North America. Let's move now on to slide two, headlines 2017. We had some other appointments as well. Ivan Marostica, my successor as Area General Manager of Fagron South America, and Marcello Bergamini has been appointed as Area General Manager of Fagron Europe, excluding Benelux. Now move to slide three, operational review. Now to our operational review. As mentioned last year, we successfully started with the worldwide introduction of innovative concepts developed and trademarked in-house, such as Fagron Lab, which is a full range of advanced compounding equipment. Trico Concept is a patented total solution for alopecia. Furthermore, we will launch the patented Trico Test, the first genetic test for alopecia. The Trico Test enables prevention and treatment to be tailored to the individual characteristics of a patient based on alopecia genetic script. Nurizil is a silicone gel that contains a unique blend of silicones and vitamin E due to improved of appearance of scars and maintaining the skin's moisture imbalance. 2 days ago, there was an article that was published in the Daily Mail, a UK daily, about a patient who was left with a foot-long scar after having surgery. After using our Neurezeal twice a day for 2 months, the patient is very satisfied with the difference as her scar was lightened in color and flattened in only 2 months. These are good examples why we will continue to actively focus on the development of products and concepts to optimize and innovate personalized pharmaceutical care. Now to slide 4, consolidated turnover. Consolidated turnover development was positive for the Fagron activities driven by organic growth in our key regions, Europe, South America, and North America. We realized a turnover of almost 437 million euro, an increase of 3.6%. Organic turnover growth was 4.2%. Now going to slide 5, turnover development. This bridge represents the development in turnover in 2017. We see that all our regions contributed positively. We saw positive currency effects in Europe and South America, slightly offset by the United States. The contribution of the acquisitions relates to chemic and alchemistry, while the disposal relates to the investment of the French compounding facility in Paris in July last year. In total, we arrive at a turnover of 430 million. This is excluding the developments at HL Technology. Now going to slide 6, Fagron Euro. Now let's go into more detail on the individual segments. In the segment Europe, turnover increased by 0.9%, 0.5% at constant exchange rate, to almost 250 million euro. Corrected for the acquisition of Chemic and the divestment of the compounding facility in Paris, the organic turnover growth was a bit higher and came in at 2.4%, 1.9% at constant exchange rates. EBITDA remained relatively in line at 63.3 million euro. As a percentage of turnover, EBITDA decreased by 20 basis points to 25.4%. We expect the backlog in the supply from materials to customers, which was a result of limited product availability in the second half of last year, to be largely solved in the coming months. We have made really good progress in structurally solving this. Now go to slide 7, Fagron South America. We saw organic turnover growth of 11.9% in South America. Turnover growth at constant exchange rates was 4.6%. The majority of Fagron Brazil's purchases are, of course, in US dollars, which led to lower purchase prices as a result of the current appreciation of the Brazilian real against the US dollar, 8.4% over the period. This positive currency effect was fully passed on to customers, as we always do. This had an unfavorable effect on turnover, but this was offset by strong growth in volume, enabling Fagron Brazil to further strengthen its market leadership in 2017. EBITDA increased 15.2% and resulted in an increase by 40 basis points to 20.2% of turnover. Now going to slide number 8, Fagron North America. The turnover of the segment North America increased by 2.1% in 2017, 4.2% at constant exchange rates to 77.8 million euro. EBITDA increased by 28.6% to 11.5 million euro. EBITDA as a percentage of turnover increased 300 basis points to 14.7% compared to 2016. Fagron sterile compounding activities in the United States continue to perform well and achieve a turnover growth of 15.5%, 17.8% at constant exchange rates. The 503B compounding facility in Wichita, in operation since March 2017, is performing in line with expectations. This facility has currently obtained licenses from 48 states. The sale of pharmaceutical raw materials and compounding concepts declined by 24.3%, 22.8% at constant exchange rates compared to 2016. This decline is still the result of the change reimbursement system in the U.S. in 2015. We do, however, see a careful steady with a 7.1% decrease at constant exchange rates during the fourth quarter of 2017, which is stable compared to the previous quarter. For our financial review, I would like to hand over to Karin. Karin, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafael. Good morning, everyone. So going to slide 10 on gross margin. The gross margin increased by 1.8% to 269.8 million euro. In percentages of turnover, gross margin decreased by 110 base points to 61.8%. The decrease was mainly the result of the renewal of a number of contracts. Going to slide 11 on operating costs, our operating costs showed a decrease of 0.3% to 174.1 million euro. As a percentage of turnover, the operating costs came down by 110 base points to 39.8%. In the second half of the year, the decrease was mainly the result of cost savings in Europe and in the activities focused on the sale of raw materials for compounding in the U.S. and to the sale of the compounding facility in Paris. Going to slide 12 on EBITDA, the EBITDA before non-recurrent results increased by 5.7% to 95.7 million euro. As a percentage of turnover, the EBITDA before non-recurrent results increased by 40 base points to 21.9%. Slide 13 on EBIT. EBIT amounted to 74.6 million euro, an increase of over 300%. This increase was mainly caused by the impairment in 2016 of 48.4 million euro. Slide 14 on financial results. The financial results came in at 19.4 million euro, an improvement of 24.2% due to lower interest expenses and non-recurring costs in 2016 related to the refinancing. The financial cost decreased by 15.4 million euro. Financial income decreased by 9.3 million euro due to the non-recurring recognition of an income item in 2016 because of the received waivers. Slide 15 on taxes. So taxes decreased by 24.1% to 8.9 million euro. The effective tax rate amounted to 15.9%. Slide 16 on net profit. So in 2017, Fagron realized a net profit of 47 million euro compared to a loss of 18.1 million in 2016. Slide 17 on net financial debt. On this slide, you see a bridge showing the development of our net debt from the end of 2016, which stood at 285 million euro, to the end of 2017, which shows a debt of 236 million euro, a decrease in debt of 49.2 million euro, which was mainly driven by our strong cash flows of 84.2 million euro in 2017. The net financial debt EBITDA ratio amounted to 2.48, which is well below the level of 3.25 as agreed in the revolving credit facility and the notes purchase agreement. Then let me hand back to Rafael for the summary.
Thank you, Karin. To summarize, we have realized strong results over the year. Together with experienced and motivated Fagron team, we will successfully expand the business further in the upcoming years. The focus will be on strong organic growth supplemented by targeted acquisition in our core markets. I'm confident that our strategic focus will provide significant value for our shareholders and stakeholders. Confidence in the future and the solid cash flow enable Fagron to pay out a dividend to its shareholders in addition to the buy-build strategy. We will propose to the General Meeting of Shareholders to pay a gross dividend of 10 euro cent per share for 2017. I'm looking forward to, together with the Fagron team, further grow the business in 2018. With that, please let me thank you for your interest, and we will now take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Anastasia Karpova from Kempen. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning and congrats on the results. A few questions, if I may. Can you specify how significant was the impact of the backlog issue in full-year numbers, specifically in Europe? Can you also elaborate a little bit more how your strategy in the U.S. is going to shape up, specifically in regards to sterile compounding in light of the management change? And finally, how would the U.S. tax reform would impact your tax rate going forward, And specifically, what impact would it have on deferred tax assets generated by the Bellevue impairment? And maybe a final one, how do you assess your war chest now?
Okay, thank you, Anastasia. So for the four questions, good morning. Karen will take the first and the third one, and I will take the second and the fourth one. To start with the second one, the strategy on the U.S., sterile compounding and the management changes. So let's start with the management changes. First of all, we are very thankful and pleased with Rita's work and performance. So as you know, Rita was almost 2 years with us. She entered in a somehow a difficult situation, of course, with the reimbursement issues in 2015. And she stabilized the business very well, closing down Bellevue and, of course, integrating Freedom in Fagron Inc. Also, with her experience, we could set up the facility, the sterile facility in Wichita that is operating since March 2017. And after this phase, we all understood that it was time for a new phase, new era. So, therefore, we appointed Blake Keller, that is a pharmacist, and that's very important for our business. You have the nuance, the niche of our compounding business. So, Blake was 17 years working at Walgreens, having managing a business of $300 million, and of course all the GPO contacts in the compounding segment of Walgreens was managed by him. So he's a pharmacist having experience. Regarding the strategy in the U.S., of course we have the two segments, the essentials brands and the sterile compounding. When we look at the essentials, we see that there is room for growing, so we have some market share to take. That's very interesting. And, of course, very nice to point out is that being 7 years in Brazil, we have developed the cash market there in compounding. And when we compared both markets, we could say that there are some similarities. So when we are able, together with the team, to implement our brand and our cash model in the United States, we will see positive developments there. Regarding the sterile compounding, we are working very hard, of course, on the 3 to 5 year plans that we are convinced that we're going to achieve. There are several actions there. Licenses are very important. We are almost there. We received the visit of the California State Board of Pharmacies, and we are positive that in 2018 we will receive the green light. We are, on a weekly basis, getting some new GPO contracts, so the sales team that is currently being upgraded are getting some nice results, and of course we developed some new sterile compounded products that, you know, need to be developed, tested, and released. And on a monthly basis, we have a very full pipeline with coming up new products. So we are also look very positive about that. During the first 5 weeks of the year, we can say that we are on track also with the U.S. and the sterile, not only the sterile but also the essential part. Maybe now, Karin, you can elaborate on the other two, and I will finalize the fourth one.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Rafa. So coming back to your first question on the backlog, indeed, in the third quarter, but also in the fourth quarter of 2017, we see impact from the backlog we have on the production side in Europe. We still anticipate some impact in the first quarter of 2018. The amount for 2017 is a couple of millions. It's a combination of back orders, but also missed sales because we do not have the products on the shelf. So we hope to have it solved in the coming months, but we do anticipate some impact in the first quarter of 2018. Then coming back to your third question, Anastasia, on the U.S. tax reform. So we didn't recognize all the losses we have on the impairment of Bellevue. So if you look at the current numbers, you do not see the impact coming back because we didn't recognize the entire amount. We have losses for almost $200 million. So in the current numbers, we do not see a lot of impact coming back as a result of the U.S. tax reform. And also going forward, we do not anticipate a big impact due to the reform.
Right. And now going to the war chest on acquisitions, Anastasia, we'll divide in two. So, Karin, you will elaborate on the resource available. Regarding acquisitions, of course, we have the three main markets where we are active in. That's Europe, North America, and South America. We are actively looking at companies from a size of 0 and 25 million euro. Something to remark is that we always first look at the cultural fit. Normally, they are family-owned companies, so we look at the cultural fit because we believe that management or former owners need to develop the business further, right? So that's very important, and also that there is a strategical fit. We have a very clear vision on personalized pharmaceutical care. So vision needs to be also aligned with our strategy on acquisitions. So that's also as well very important. So now maybe you, Karin, can elaborate on word chest.
Yeah, so looking at the type of acquisitions, we're looking at small add-on acquisitions between 0 and 25 million of turnover, fitting within the strategy, fitting within the regions we are already in. If you look at our leverage, so if we do acquisitions, we always take into consideration our leverage. We'll remain around the same level, maybe a bit higher, but not too high. So not going into the three regions. So that's the bit acquisition strategy for Fagron. Does that answer your question, Anastasia?
And just to confirm, you would like to maintain the debt level or the covenant currently at roughly the same level?
Yeah, roughly the same level, Anastasia.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you for taking my questions.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Matthias Meinhout from ING. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. I had maybe another question on the strong organic growth in Brazil in the fourth quarter. Can you give a little bit more guidance on what that exactly has driven? Because there seems to be a very strong acceleration of organic growth at constant exchange rates in Brazil in the fourth quarter. And can you also talk on how the integration of Alchemistry is going? That's actually my first question. Then the second question is actually on the DOJ case. Is there an update? Should we anticipate an update? Can you give a bit more color on how that process is going? And then a last question is actually on the cash flow statement. There's a cash out in the cash flow statement. Is that the full price for the acquisitions, or is that only the price for the equity value? And are there any deferred payments still due for the acquisitions? Thank you.
Thank you, Matthias. Karin will elaborate on the second and the third question, and Rafa will elaborate on the first one regarding Brazil and integration of Alchemistry. So if you remember, in 2017, we started the first two quarters with strong volume growth, but due to the price difference and the U.S. purchase, our euro performance was stable. And, of course, this is for an entrepreneurial and ambitious guys as we are, was really not in order. So we sat down with the team and we said, we have a very nice market. We developed a very nice market there in Brazil and a very good business for Fagron, but we need to go to a further level. So we decided to introduce more than 310 new items. More than 30% of those items are branded products, so developed by us, with more than 7 patents, right? So we set up a plan to introduce that, so we increase our portfolio as well, and together with our customers, because we need to take into account that the Brazilian compounding market is the biggest one in number of prescriptions. So there are more than 600,000 prescriptions a day. So compounding is really a daily thing there for people in Brazil. It's very much used, right? So together with our customers, we really increase our market, the pie, right? So the number of prescriptions that were prescribed, of course, with our branded products. So you can really see a strong growth in volume, of course, and also in value performance. And we see this as well in the first 5 weeks, right? So we are starting according to the plan. Ivan has taken up the leadership. Ivan is a person that has more than 20 years experience in the compounding market. He was working at Galena, our main competitor, that was 20 years ago. And then he was one of the founders of Pharma Nostra, currently Infinity Pharma, that is our biggest company in Brazil. So we have a very high and talented and experienced team there. And, of course, we are foreseeing a very nice developments there. Regarding the integration of Alchemistry is a mid-sized company in Brazil. That's going very well. First, we are focusing, of course, in the back office, right? So finance, IM, HR, production. So we closed down the production in São Paulo, where Alchemistry is located. We brought it to our state-of-the-art facility in Anápolis, where we have the biggest conditioning facility for the group, right? All the other back office elements are being done. So now we are working on expanding our sales and marketing machine at Alchemistry. We're going to position Alchemistry as an innovator on skin treatment. We are developing together with a partner the whole nanotechnology elements there, and we foresee also a bright future for Alchemistry as well as the other seven brands that we have in Brazil. Now, Kari?
So coming back to your question on the DOJ, Matthias, there's nothing new to report at this moment. So we have regular contacts with them, and we are cooperative in all their demands. But unfortunately, I cannot give you any indication on timing on the DOJ. And on your final question for the prices of the acquisitions, indeed, they're fully in our cash out in our cash flow statement now, and there are no earnouts relating to those two small acquisitions.
Okay, clear. If I may have just one follow-up for Rafael. You speak in the strategy that you will focus on strong organic growth going forward. How should we think about that? Is it then double digit strong organic growth, or is it rather mid-single digit? How should we see that?
Well, we see, again, developments very well, right? As we said, we had a strong second semester, and the first 5 weeks of the year are starting according to the plans. Of course, it's early to say and to tell about digits, right? I mean, the year has just started, so we all understand that. And when we look at the strong operating operational growth, of course, we have the three regions. North and South America, of course, are very dynamic regions, cash-based, so it's somehow easier to have a very nice growth there in the essential and brands segment. We have a very experienced team and very nice ideas, so we are developing very nice initiatives. Of course, you saw in the presentation in the second slide that we are launching the first genetic test for alopecia worldwide, patented. We are testing more than 13 SNPs, all related to all metabolic routes for alopecia, so that's somehow a disruptive thing for dermatology and trichology, and of course no one wants to be bold, so we are very confident about that launch with the Fagron Genomic brands, and of course we'll roll that this worldwide. And then regarding Europe, of course Europe is more conservative market. On the other hand, we foresee nice growth coming from exchanging ideas and concepts throughout the globe, right? Of course, we have the sterile activities that are very important, not only in the States, but also in other countries like in the Netherlands, where we started the FSBA, our antibiotic facilities, and we are seeing very nice developments there as well. So we are very confident about 2018, Matthias.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very clear.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Frank Klassen from Degroof Petercam. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Frank Klassen, Degroof Petercam. Two questions, please. First of all, on the gross margin. It came down 1.1% this year. You talked about renewal of contract. What is that exactly? And what can we expect going forward? Is this a structural decline in gross margin, or do you think you can improve it back to the levels we've seen before? And then secondly, on your dividend, you now paid 10 cents. Are you thinking of installing some kind of dividend policy in the future, like relating it to net profit or free cash flow? Some words on that, please. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you, Frank. So answering your first question on the gross margin, so it's indeed, it's a combination of two things. It's a renewal of contracts in Europe, so that's long-term contracts. So that will have some impact going forward. And on the other side, we see some impact on prices in South America, so basically Brazil. So they had a really good fourth quarter, but it's a very competitive market. So we do see some price pressure there, and that's coming back in our gross margin for 17. On the second question on your dividends, indeed, we decided to pay out a small dividend. We are confident that our strategic focus will provide significant value and sustainable cash flows. That's one of the reasons we decided to pay out a small dividend. It's the intention to continue with yearly dividend payments, but of course, it's the final decision that will be taken by the board of directors. So does that answer your question, Frank?
More or less, yes. But coming back on the gross margin, So is this current level, let's say, a good level to assume going forward, or is maybe do you see room to increase it a bit again? Or is that too early?
Of course, our intention is to increase it again. That's, of course, our intention. But the contracts and focus in Brazil will be to focus on the brands and be less dependent on your essential market, so the impact on prices will be a bit lower. So that will be our main focus in 18. So hopefully that brings back the gross margin to the earlier levels.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Lenny Van Steenhuis from KBC Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I was also looking at the South American activities and saw some impressive results there. So I was wondering how do you see revenue going forward for the region, and also how sensitive this will be to a potential increase of the U.S. dollar in terms of volume uptake and revenues. And then secondly, I was wondering if you already expect a significant contribution of the sterile compounding activities in the U.S. for 2018, or if the 2018 growth for the region will come from other activities. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Lenny. I will take the first one, and then Karin will take the second one. Right. So regarding South America and the strong growth, again, in the last 7 years, we have showed a very nice buy and build strategy down there, and very strong organic growth, right? So when we were acquiring the companies, we were rapidly integrating the back office with the same ERP, the same policies, right, and the same DNA. And then on the front side, we had a very multi-brand strategy going to facing the customers. So in the Brazilian compounding market, again, it's a very big market on number of prescriptions, more than 600,000 a day. There are more than 30 competitors, right? So we have approximately more than 50% of the market share, right? So we have room to grow, but there are somehow small competitors that are daily quoted by our customers, right? So when we look at the development there, essentials are very important because it's the bread and butter of the pharmacy, but our brand strategy and brands account for more than 30% of the revenues there. So we came from zero to 30 and is growing, and this year we are heading 40%. So this gives a significant differentiation regarding the customer choice. And of course, as our customers, there are more than 5,000 independent compounding pharmacies. They need to work together with the suppliers, in this case us, of course, as we need to work together with them. It's a partnership to go and visit actively doctors. So there are more than 2,000 visitors if we count all the reps that compounding pharmacies in Brazil have. So we are very much keen to work together in order to promote this to the prescribers as well. And of course, we need to remember that in Brazil, compounding it's a daily thing, right? So everyone has compounded medication at home. So that's very important. Regarding the other markets, we have activities in Colombia, and last year the activities performed normal. What we see is that this year, of course, we are implementing all our brands and our concepts there. We are seeing very nice developments there. So not only from Colombia, for the region of Central America. Last year, we also closed a partnership with the biggest compounding pharmacy in Peru, that's FirstMed. So you can look at firstmed.pe. And we see very nice developments also there. Of course, are small amounts because somehow that you start. But the message is that we are also moving to other countries in the region, as well as Bolivia and Paraguay, where you also have compounding pharmacies down there. Regarding the U.S. dollar, you know, when you live in Brazil, every day is a new day, and every day you don't know how the U.S. dollar will end up, you know, with all stability and the whole political stuff. So we have been always very, very much keen on that. What we see is that when it moves into this direction, our competitors have somehow difficulties to acquire the products. And, of course, getting a product inside Brazil is not an easy job, right? For us in Europe, well, but there it can take up to 3 months. So this plays in our favor. So we look very confident on that. And, again, as we were saying before, the team has a lot of experience. When we look at the leadership team in Brazil, they all have more than 15 years average experience in the compounding market. So we look with a lot of confidence on that. Maybe Karin, you can go on the second one.
Yeah, so if we're looking forward to 18, we're positive about 18. We expect to increase sales, increase profitability. On the one side, coming from the U.S., coming from the sterile activities, where we confirm our long-term estimation of 100 million of turnover in 3 to 5 years. On the other side, we have the essential business, which is stabilized, and which we hope to grow in 2018. It's too early to say. We have a good couple of weeks behind us already in 18, but it's too early to say if that business will start growing again. But for now, it's stabilized. And of course, in the other markets, we expect to grow. However, in Europe, as already mentioned, we do expect in the first quarter to see some impact of the back order issue. But overall, for 18, we're really positive.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no further questions from the phone. But again, as a reminder, please press star 1. As there are no further questions, I will now turn the call back to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone, also operator, as well Karin and Constantine and the team here. And we are closing this conference call saying that 2017 was a very nice year for us, where we showed strong developments, right? In the second semester, the organic growth was also very nice, so we are very happy about that. Also saying that the team is very motivated and enthusiastic, so Fagron has built in his historical life a very motivated and passionate team, and that's something very remarkable. And of course, compounding is a niche, is personalized pharmaceutical care. We look at this as the future of medicine, right? So we give the opportunity for prescribers to combine and innovate and to treat patients in a more human and a better way. When we go into the genetic era, you know that some years ago the whole genome was discovered, more than 23,000, and at a very early and mature stage, but we are taking the lead on that with the Fagron Genomics Initiative. Of course, the trichotest is the first one, but there are more to come, and we can couple that with our products, concepts, and innovations on tailor-made medication, and this, of course, gives a significant improvement of treatment, right? So we look very positive at that as well, and we hope that we will show very nice results for 2018. Thank you very much.
That will conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.